If you have a Bible, please turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This morning, Josh and I were trying to start our car, but the battery had become dead. It wouldn't start. And so Josh and I were using the footsabishi, as the guys call it, your feet when you walk. We're walking down the road, and it was muddy, and it was raining. And Josh looks at me, and he says, "You know, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust." Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Before we begin this morning's study, let's pray together. Thank you so much, Father, for your word that it is always good. It is always powerful. And Lord, this morning we come before you and we ask that you would come to us and teach us from your word. Lord, we look to you to build our lives up, to strengthen us, Lord, to give us the grace that we need to continue living for you. That's our desire and our prayer this morning, Lord. So we pray that you would come and touch each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we're going to be continuing our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been going through this letter by the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we've learned about so many things in our study. Learned about problems in the church. We learned about different things. We've learned about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the past 6 weeks. In fact, we've been learning about that. And today we're going to pick up in chapter 15, and we're going to study the first 11 verses. And the message this morning is going to be good news. Good news. How many people like to hear good news? Everybody. How many people like to hear bad news? Everybody likes to hear good news. Even when we're walking and we see these newspapers, maybe New Vision, Monitor, and we look, and deep down we're hoping there's some good news. We're hoping one day it will say, the LRA has been destroyed and driven away from Uganda. We're looking for that good news. We're hoping it will say, the crops this year are growing so good and big because of all of the rain. We're hoping all of these things of good news, we can see them in the newspaper. But this morning we're going to be learning about the best news that you can ever hear. If you like to hear about good news, you're going to like to read these first 11 verses, because these verses are all about a word. It's called the gospel. The gospel. We've heard that word before, haven't we? Maybe we're going to buy a music album and we want some gospel music. Maybe we're going to church or we're not saved and someone preaches to us the gospel. And we've heard that word before time and time again as Christians. But the word gospel, what it really means, do you know what it really means? It means very simply, good news. That's what the word itself means. Good news. And this morning, we're going to see the gospel. Let's read together, beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all of the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. You can see in this passage, it's powerful. One of my favorite passages, some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible are here. The ones about how, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I love hearing those verses about how Paul said he was the least, but yet he was able to do the work for God because of God's grace alone. That gives me hope. Because I sometimes consider myself to be the least. I'm not worthy, of course, and the Lord's grace is powerful. But the gospel, in verses 1 and 2, we're going to see that the gospel, the good news, it demands our involvement. Do you know what it means to be involved with something? It means that you actively participate. It's like if you're going to a football match and maybe you enjoy playing football. Well, you would like to become involved in the football match, right? That means you do more than just stand there on the side and watch them play. Now, that's enjoyable also, I know. But if you're going to join in to be involved, you have to go in and you have to do something, right? To be involved in the game. And the gospel itself, it will not do us any good. It will not, in fact, be good news unless we do certain things to get involved. That's what we really encourage people to do, isn't it? Come to Jesus. Get involved in what he has done for you in the gospel message. And here in this passage, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, in which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved." You see four things there. There are four things that we have to participate in, that we have to be willing to do in order for the gospel to be effective in our lives and in the lives of others. The good news about Jesus. The first thing Paul says is that he preached the gospel. That's the first thing. Our involvement includes preaching. And that doesn't mean you, each one of us, have to get up on top of a pulpit like this and you have to preach. That's not what it means, but it simply means to declare, to tell about the gospel. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Romans chapter 10. We're going to read a verse here this morning. Romans chapter 10. And this verse is about how important it is for us to preach, to tell about the gospel to other people, just as Paul did here. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, actually, let's begin in verse 13 of chapter 10. It says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel." There's that good news again. "For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Did you understand what that passage was saying there? It's very clear, isn't it? He's saying here that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith. Whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to study the gospel a little bit more in chapter 15 this morning. But he says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news. Do you want to be saved from hell for eternity? Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. That's easy. That's the gospel. Good news. And he goes on to say, but how shall they call on him if they have not believed in him? How shall they call on him if they have not believed? And how are they going to believe if they have not heard about him? And how are they going to hear about him without a preacher? That kind of goes along with our verse in chapter 15, doesn't it? Our involvement is we need to preach the gospel. Because let me tell you this. If we as Christians who have received the gospel, I pray that's most of us this morning. If we have received the gospel, then we have a responsibility to turn around and to preach the gospel, to give the gospel. If you have a relative back home and they do not know about Jesus, they do not believe in Jesus, maybe they've never heard about Jesus, how are they going to get saved unless someone preaches the gospel to them? You see how important it is? If there was no preaching of the gospel, there would be no salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is important, isn't it? That we get involved in the gospel by preaching the gospel. Preaching. Let me tell you something. You may be scared. I may be scared. I'm afraid sometimes to preach the gospel. But you have to remember what the word gospel means. It means good news. It's good news. And today, people, they want to hear good news. Did you know that? They're tired of hearing about the LRA. They're tired of hearing about the problems in the world. They're tired of hearing about war and famine. People want good news, and the best news there is the news about Jesus Christ our Lord. Preach the gospel. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, still in verse 1, it says, I preach to you in which also you received. Which you received. Here's our second participation, involvement in the gospel. The gospel, even though it is preached by somebody, will do no good unless it is what? Received. The good news about Jesus. We're going to see here in this chapter that he died for our sins and rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. I gave you a little hint of what's coming in the next few verses. The good news about Jesus will not do a person any good if they do not receive it. If they do not receive it. Jesus died for our sins. It's true. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him will be saved. They will not perish, but they will have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. But there is no hope. And hear this morning, if you have not accepted or received the gospel, I don't know, maybe you're out there this morning. Hear this morning, that the good news about what Jesus has done will do no good unless you receive it. You know, the salvation and the gospel, it's called in scriptures a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift. And if you have a gift, maybe it is something nice, maybe there in England, they have these things called fruit cakes. And I found out the other day that fruit cakes are very famous there. We have them in America also, but people don't like them so much. But they have these fruit cakes and people love there in the UK. They love fruit cakes. Amen? Anybody like fruit cakes? See? So they have fruit cakes and it's a tradition there, and even in America, around Christmas time, in December, you bring a fruitcake and you give to someone else a gift. I bring you this gift of a fruitcake. Now, if you've never seen a fruitcake, don't be deceived. There's not really fruit in there. It's kind of these. It's almost like sweets, like candy. It's not good. But for some people, they like it. And if you bring a gift of a fruitcake to somebody, that fruitcake is not going to taste good to that person. It's not going to do them any good if they like it, unless they do what? They hold out their arms They take the fruitcake and say, thank you, and then bring it home. Right? If they say, I don't want the fruitcake, and walk away, they will never get to taste of that fruitcake. Right? That's just the way it is. Jesus, Jesus has done everything so that people, if they want to, can be saved from hell. And I don't know anybody who actually can, who is in that position of suffering, who would not want to be saved. But Jesus has done everything. He's made every possible way for us to come to Him. We don't have to do any good works. We don't have to say any of these long prayers. We don't have to do anything except for accept. Accept Jesus. Receive Him. But unless we receive Him, His gift of salvation will not profit us anything. There'll be a day when you stand before the Lord and He'll say, why did you not accept my free gift? Depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So, it's easy. You have to receive it, this gift, this gospel. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, when the church started, there were many people that were getting saved. And notice what it said about those people. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Do you see what happened after Peter preached the gospel? There's our first thing, preach, right? After he preached the good news, Jesus Christ has died for your sins, He rose from the dead, and if you put your faith in Him, you will be saved. He preached the gospel. And then they, which is our second thing this morning, they received His word. Those who received His word were baptized, and that day 3,000 people were added to the church. And so, preaching the gospel is necessary, and receiving the gospel is necessary. And also in 1 Corinthians, if you're still there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, in which you received, verse 1, and in which you stand. There's our third thing. It's been preached. You've received it, but still, there's something more we have to involve ourselves with. It says, this gospel is that which we stand in. To stand in something means, I'm not going anywhere. Those who truly put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they are born again. They're born again. They receive the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, they are no longer standing in their sinfulness. They are no longer standing in the ways of the world. They are now standing in the gospel, the good news. I want to stand in the good news. Let me give you an illustration. If you're out on Lake Victoria, okay? It's so big, this lake, Lake Victoria. And you're out in a boat, traveling, maybe you're going to Tanzania, maybe you're going to the islands, maybe you're going somewhere, you're in a boat, okay, traveling. And you look in this boat and there are holes all in the bottom, you're out in the middle. And water starts coming in. And the boat starts going like this, closer to the water, closer, closer. And you think, this boat is going down into the water and I am going to die if I stay here. Now, someone tells you there's a way that you can be saved from drowning in Lake Victoria. You can be saved if you will go and get into this lifeboat, a small boat on the side. If you step in here, you will be saved from going down there with the boat. See, they preach to you about salvation. And you have a choice. Am I going to stay in this sinking ship? Or am I going to get into the lifeboat? You receive the message, and then what do? You get in and you stand in it. You stand in the lifeboat. You don't get back into the other boat. How many people want to get back into the boat that is sinking? Not me. That's foolish. We have something so much better. And that word stand, it also means that we are firm, we are convicted that this is the way. It's what we live in. standing in the gospel. Every choice is made with the decision of God and His good news through Jesus Christ. That's our life. That's what we stand in. So we preach the gospel. We receive the gospel. We stand in the gospel. And here, very important, our last one, before we move on. We are, verse 2, by which also you are saved. Saved. And this is important, isn't it? That word saved, I gave you an illustration of Lake Victoria. You would be saved from drowning if you get into the lifeboat. Well, when someone asks you, are you saved? The real question is, what are you saved from? I think most people in Kampala, when they use the word saved, they just think about someone who goes to church, maybe raises their hands, and has a Bible study. I talked to one man before, and he said, are you saved? I said, yes, I'm saved. And he said, I'm not saved. I said, oh no. And he said, no, I'm not saved, and I don't want to be saved. You see, he didn't know what the word saved means. It's like a guy who's in the water. Let's use Lake Victoria. He's in the water. He's drowning. He can't swim. And I come over with one of these floating things. Do you want to be saved? No. I don't want to be saved. I have something that will save you from dying. No, I don't want to be saved. You see how foolish that is? But that word saved, by which you are saved, we are saved from so much, aren't we? It's not water that we're being saved from, it's fire. And Jesus, more than any other person in the Bible, spoke about hell as a real place. A literal place, just like we're here today. There is a place called hell. And in fact, the Bible speaks of a different place. The book of Revelation, towards the end, it's called the Lake of Fire. And those who want to follow after the devil and his angels will be cast into the Lake of Fire, which burns forever and ever. It never stops. What are we saved from? We're saved from that. We're saved from the punishment that we deserve. I deserve to go there. I should rightfully go there for my sin. But God has saved us. And so the gospel, we are saved by the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There it is again, good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see what the gospel is? It is the means by which we are saved. The gospel is that message that is able to save us for eternity. Not only saving us from hell, but saving us to heaven. If you think hell is bad, worse than you can imagine, heaven is good, better than you can imagine. We're not just saved from punishment, we're saved to eternal life. That's salvation, and the gospel is the means by which we are saved, the message about Jesus. That's why it is important, as we continue on this morning, verses 3 through 8, that we have a correct understanding of what the gospel is. Amen? If this is the message that is going to bring salvation, then we had better be sure we are preaching the right message. Amen? The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians said that if anybody preaches any other gospel than the one which you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be damned, that person that would preach another gospel, a different gospel. And the reason why I'm concerned is because today there are groups, large groups of people who are preaching a false gospel. False. It has no power to save you. If you follow it, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And so let's understand this morning the gospel. Just like it says here, I declare to you the gospel. What is he saying? He says, first we preach it, we receive it, we stand in it, we're saved by it. But in verse 3, he says this, and here he's going to give a very simple summary of the gospel. Verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. You see, he didn't invent it himself. He received it from Jesus Christ. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. There's the gospel. That's it. Many people have said, that is too simple, right? That's too simple. Jesus died for my sins, and then he rose from the dead. If I just accept that, that's the gospel. That's too simple, is what people have said. So there have been groups over the years, in fact, throughout church history, there have been groups, very powerful, very influential, that have added on some things to the gospel. They have added on. Even in Paul's day, in the book of Galatians, he wrote that book because of people who had added on their own good works to the gospel. And do you know what he says? He says, those people who try to be justified by their works, they have fallen from grace. They are no longer a part of the gospel. And today, there are groups that add on things, works, prayers to the gospel. And the gospel is not like that. It's simple. In fact, the Bible says that those people who seek to be justified, meaning saved, by their own works, they will not be saved. They're trusting in what they have done and what they do. The gospel is simple. First of all, the message is about Jesus dying for our sins. Some people they're afraid to share the gospel because they think, I've only been saved for a short time. Someone just preached to me, and I don't know a lot about the Bible, so therefore I cannot share my faith with others. Have you ever had that fear? I have. I don't know enough, and so I would not be able to share my faith. Let me tell you something. The only thing that you need to know, and you go and share this right here, Jesus has died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. If you believe in him, you'll be saved. Is that difficult? There's your message. There it is. There's my message. Come back to the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Yes. That's the gospel. Simple. It's simple so that even a child could understand. Jesus said this, unless you become like little children, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not difficult. It's not a big system of works and prayers and these different things. It's simple. Even a child can understand what Jesus has done. The message is about Jesus dying for our sins. That's the first part of the gospel. On the cross, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was suffering for our sins. We are, by nature and by choice, guilty of sin, aren't we? How many people have never sinned? Raise your hand. Nobody. Hey! Everybody has sinned. And that's exactly what the Bible says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. There is no one who is righteous. No one who has sought after God. No one who has done what is good, the Bible declares. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but also a spiritual death. Eternal separation from the Lord. The wages of sin is death. So if I am a sinner, and you are sinners, and everybody in the world has sinned, and the penalty for our sins is eternal separation from God, death. If that's the penalty, then how, let me ask you, are we going to spend eternity with God in heaven? That's part of the gospel, isn't it? The gospel says, first of all, that Jesus died, and not only did he die, but he died for our sins. Jesus Christ is 100% God. That's what we believe. That he was born of the Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago, and that when he was at age 30, he died upon the cross, he himself having never sinned. Jesus, he's the only one who has never sinned. The only one who does not deserve to be punished by God. The only one. Yet he himself took punishment that was not his. The punishment belonged to me. Let me tell you something. We should be on the cross suffering for our own sins. Not only that, we should be cast into the lake of fire for sinning against such a great God, an eternal God of infinite worth. We have sinned against him. But Jesus took upon himself our punishment. Is that good news or bad news? That's good news. We don't want to experience God's wrath, God's punishment. Jesus experienced it for us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That verse right there says, God the Father made Jesus Christ to take the penalty for the sins that should have been ours, that we might have the righteousness that belongs to him. That is amazing. You think about that when you go home. Think about that verse. All of the sin that we have ever done was placed upon him so that all of his righteousness, the righteousness of God, that means the goodness of God, the infinite righteousness that he has could be placed upon us. Let me put it to you like this. When we stand before God, he will not see our sin. He will not see our life of disobedience. He will look at us and he will see the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He's going to look at me, and this blows my mind. That means I can't think about it. My mind starts to spin and smoke comes out of my ears when I think. He will look at me. He will look at us who have accepted him, have received him. He will look at us and he will no longer look at our sins and our disobedience. He will look at us and he will see the righteousness of Jesus. Meaning he will look at us and think his life was perfect. He never sinned. She never sinned, not even once, as far as he is concerned. Because that perfect life has been given to us by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, because our life was given to him. And he was punished. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's good news. That is the gospel of our salvation. And that's amazing. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you ever start to question the love of God, maybe you see problems in the world, maybe you think about a loved one dying or suffering in this life, if you ever start to question the love of God toward us, I want you to do something. I want you to think about the cross. I want you to think about Jesus Christ, who was perfect, and he was dying there, and the Bible says this, he demonstrated his love. Do you want to see how much I love you, God said? And he sent his Son, who was perfect, who was holy, who was King, who was Lord, And he humbled himself and he suffered on the cross. Not because he deserved it, but because we deserved it and he loves us. And he would rather suffer for us so that we could spend eternity with him. The Bible says this, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Did he want to suffer there? Absolutely not. He didn't want to suffer. He had a body just like we have. He knew that God, the Father, was going to turn his face away from him, suffering. But the reason why he did it was for the joy that was set before him. He knew that we would be able to get saved. That's why he suffered on the cross. That's the gospel. It doesn't stop there, though. It doesn't stop there. We'll skip this second point here and we'll go right to the resurrection. If he were to die on the cross, which he did, for our sins, it would have meant nothing unless 3 days later he rose from the dead. That is great news. If, you know, I think about these different religions in the world, right? We have Buddhism. And their leader, this guy Buddha, he's dead. You can go to the place where he's buried and see that he's buried there. This guy for Islam, Muhammad. Muhammad is his prophet, right? You can go there and see he's dead. He is dead. These different religious leaders all over the world, dead, 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 dead. There's only one leader that's not dead. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. And that is the completion of the gospel. Someone can die for another person, but Jesus claimed to be God, that he was taking upon himself the sins of the world. And he also said before he died, 3 days later, I will rise again. 3 days later, you know what happened? The stone was rolled away. Remember the women ran to the tomb first? They looked inside. He wasn't there. The angel said to them, he is not here, for he has risen, just like he said. That's good news. Because if he can raise from the dead, and we're going to learn about this at the end of the chapter next week, if he can raise from the dead, that gives me hope that one day I will raise from the dead. We have hope. We have a hope in Jesus. Because he lives, we also shall live. That's what he said, isn't it? Because I live, you also shall live. And the message about Jesus, he died for our sins, he took our punishment, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He defeated death. Death no longer has dominion over him, the Bible says. That's what we believe. Can you give me a better message than that out there? You can't. This is the best news there is in the world. This morning we're hearing it. This is the best news. There is no better news. That Jesus has died for our sins and rose from the dead. The gospel in verses 9 through 11 is all about God's grace. By the way, concerning the resurrection, the proof is there. You can go to Jerusalem today and you can look in there. There's no body. There's no body there in the grave. Also, it says here in this very chapter that there were eyewitnesses to his resurrection. It wasn't some secret. Maybe someone took his body and then said, oh, he rose. No, it wasn't a secret. Peter saw him. Paul saw him, the apostle. And over 500 people saw him at one time. That's a lot of eyewitnesses. And at any time, the accusers of Christians could have brought the body forward and said, no, here is the body. They couldn't. At any time, they could have brought witnesses and there would have been 500 that said, we saw him after he had already died and had risen. It's true. This is a fact of history. Here at the Bible College, we're studying church history, the history of the church from the time of the apostles in the New Testament until today, church history. And when you study history, you want to have historical facts, things that actually happened. It is a historical fact that America won the World Cup this last time in football, right? No. That's not a historical fact. Why? Because some of us saw, who was it, Brazil? Brazil win. Shows you how much I watch football. Okay. That's a historical fact. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a historical fact. You can reject Christianity, but you cannot do so on the grounds that this did not happen. Even non-Christians confess this is an actual event. There is no doubting that Jesus is risen from the dead. The gospel is all about God's grace. Verses 9 through 11. And this is Paul the Apostle. He was one of the major preachers of the gospel. He should know what it meant, right? Jesus revealed it to him directly as an apostle. He says, I am the least of all the apostles. I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Let's stop there in that verse. Learn this about ourselves. This may be bad news to some of you, some of us this morning. We are not worthy of the gospel. And that word worthy means we deserve it. We do not deserve God's love toward us. Did you know that? Do you know what the word grace means? We love grace, don't we? We love God's grace. God, show me your grace. The word grace means He is giving us something that we do not deserve. In fact, it means even more than that. He is giving us something. Not only do we not deserve it, but we deserve the opposite. We deserve punishment. He gives us everlasting life. That's grace. Let's know this about ourselves this morning. We are not worthy of God's love and of His acceptance. He loves us because of His grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were His enemies, He reconciled us to Himself. It's because of His love. And that's good news also, because His love does not depend upon whether we do good or whether we do bad. He loves us anyway. He loves us. In verse 10 it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The gospel is about grace, and God's grace enables us, listen to this, God's grace enables us to live a life of godliness. Many people, when they think about grace, they think about salvation, right? I've just explained salvation. We deserve to die, we deserve to be punished, but because of God's grace, because of His love on the cross, we can now spend eternity with Him in heaven. But God's grace is so much bigger than that. God's grace doesn't just save us here and then say, okay, good luck, have a good life, I hope you make it here in the end. Right? So maybe someone's saved when they're 14 years old. Okay, I saved you. All right, now let's see if you can make it. Let's see how good you can do until the end. And then if you get to here, then we'll take you up. That's not the end of grace when we get saved. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of grace. And God's grace is the way that Paul was able to do so much for God. You see what he said? Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It wasn't his own ability. He wasn't naturally gifted. He wasn't a strong athlete able to travel like Josh did on his journeys. You know, though Josh drove in a bus. It's cheating. He wasn't naturally special or good or gifted naturally because he was Paul. Many people say that he was a short guy and he had diseases with his eyes. You remember in Galatians, he had a problem with his eyes, physical infirmity. He had problems. He wasn't some big, tall, dark, handsome guy that can just do everything good. Paul says, it wasn't me that did all of these things. And you know what he said also? He said, I labored more than any of the other apostles. I labored more than anyone else. I did more work for the Lord than anybody. That's what he said, and he did. He wrote the majority of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I labored more abundantly than they all, but then he said, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Do you want to labor for the Lord this morning? Do you want to live a life of godliness, of holiness, righteousness? Like we sang in the song, it's what I long for. Well, then you need to know this. It is not about how strong you are or about how gifted you are. It's about how much of God's grace you have accepted. The question, the real question is not, are you good or are you clever or are you strong? The real question is, are you willing? What did it say at the beginning of 1 Corinthians? God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Uses the weak things of the world to bring to nothing those things that are strong. So the real question is, are you foolish and weak and poor? Good news. God will use you in a mighty way because of his grace. The gospel is about salvation. Yes, the gospel is also a continuation. It's about a life of salvation, a life of grace, a life of power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, is from God. You see what he said there? What do I have that I have contributed to the gospel, to a life of godliness, to laboring for the Lord? Paul said, I'm not sufficient to think of anything as being from myself. Sufficiency means the ability to do something, the resources on which to draw to complete the task. I'm not sufficient of myself. You can ask my wife, Lynn. I can't get up in front of people and talk. When I was at Bible college, I was so afraid. I told you before. One time I had to get up in front of the other students. I couldn't even talk. I was shaking. Today I'm probably like that. There's just a few here, so... But I know, because I know who I am. I'm not clever. Ask Josh. Josh is much more clever than I am. It's by the grace of God that we do what we do. And all he is wanting us to acknowledge is that we can't do it. God is waiting for you to say this, for me to say this. God, please help me because I can't do it. I can't stop doing this sin. Please help me. I want to stop. And God will help you. That's what he's waiting for. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Who is it that works in us for God's good pleasure? Him. It's his grace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We know this one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through Brian who strengthens myself. Not through my friends who strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you want to live for the Lord? Do you want to preach the gospel? Do you want to stand secure in his grace? Trust in him. He's able to do it. Amen. So this morning as we close, the gospel, the good news, is given to us. The Bible says it right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us preach it to others, receive it for ourselves, stand in it. We're saved by it. It's just this. Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Is that good news? Praise God. Let's stand together. Father, we love you so much. Lord, we see that you have loved us because you gave your Son for us. And Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. And we look forward to one day being with you in a place that is beyond our imagination. Thank you so much, God. And we just thank you for your work of grace here in this place. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.